Make sure you're in fellowship as we strive to advance ourselves spiritually and make a mature adjustment in our own lives. Continuing on with the doctrine here, in certain aspects of the mature adjustment that we are to recognize, Roman numeral 6, one of the things that we must all recognize is that attaining to maturity does not demand sinless perfection. This idea of a self-righteousness standard set upon believers to be sinless in some way or some fashion experientially goes in the face of all that Scripture teaches otherwise. As believers, we continue to exist in this life with a genetic code that has been, if you will, diseased by a sinful nature and continually rears this ugly head looking to express itself under the concept of personal sin in our Christian life. So as believers, we continue to sin. However, as we know, we can deal with it under grace provision through the rebound technique and applying Bible doctrine otherwise. So examples of great believers in Scripture who did sin as mature believers even, Abraham, David, to name just a couple. This respect. But recognizing that we do continue to sin. 1 Kings 8:46 regards God's people, even when they were acclimated, prayer or confession is set up or sent out in regards to intercessory prayer on the nation, Israel. In this respect, Solomon, when they, God's people, sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and you are angry with them, and do deliver them to an enemy, so that they take them away captive to the land of the enemy, far off and near. And when they go to a point that God comes in under national discipline, this cycle, dispersion, being under the rule of others, but the parenthetical phrase, for there is no man who does not sin, recognizes that that's part of life. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I've cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? Ecclesiastes 7:20. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. So, this is not license, rationalization, or indifference to sin on the part of believers. It's just a matter of accepting fact and reality of living the Christian life. And to abuse this principle under some type of libertine mentality goes in the face of why salvation is provided for us to begin with, and why we have rebound. And why we have rebound is so that we can overrule sin and be in fellowship and serve God. 1 John 2:1, following right on the heels of the rebound technique of chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. There to head off any who may try to use rebound as a license to sin. And that is, Bible doctrine is here. God's plan is here to avoid sin, not to pursue it. And if anyone sins, on the other end of the coin, recognize the fact that we do. We have an advocate, a defense with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So whether people forgive you for your sins, if you confess your sins, rebound it, understand that Jesus Christ has interceded on your behalf. And you're forgiven. So be, while mature believers sin and recognize it, they do disclaim all fellowship with the wicked, from whom they expect to be distinguished in the course of providence. James 3:2, James says, we all stumble in many ways. In many ways, lays out quite a playful of opportunity that the SCAs can take in expression of itself. While we recognize our own weakness in this respect, we seek to apply doctrine and recognize also the importance of the doctrine of separation, and that there is no fellowship, true fellowship, among these who are reversionists, whether unbelievers or believers, because true fellowship, as John says, is fellowship with God. As he brought out in 1 John, Psalm 1, you want to be on the blessed side of God, then you'll have to apply this doctrine in your Christian life. Now, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed man is positive volition, as he's contrasted to negative volition, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, all the way from unbelievers to those who otherwise refute the plan of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's not going to associate his life in fellowship in regards to these types. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. So obviously his natural associations are going to be those who are like-minded, that also hold up the law as their means of existence and operation in their life. And the one who is willing to remain aloof, appropriately before God in this regards, you will find a better developed, firmer believer before God. That's verse 3, and you will be like a tree transplanted by streams of water, where they get plenty of water. That's their life. That's their NPR. The version of his family comes in. Fine, sit down. Have a seat. Have a beer. I'm going to Bible class. Thank you. And I'll see you when you get home. When I get home. Rather than, oh, there's a good reason to miss Bible class. My family's here. My reversionist family's here. Now, to apply doctrine and to be the proper witness. And a tree planted by water obviously gets plenty of water. That's Bible doctrine. And that's what gives us our stability in life, which yields its fruit in its season. Divine good production, his leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. God greases his skins. The wicked are not so, negative volition. They do not appeal to God's word for their livelihood. But they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Their human viewpoint, STA approach regards life, eventually will be done away with for all eternity. And it's like chaff. All things are temporal. And either you hang on to that which is eternal, and let that take you into your eternal state, or you don't. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. And here, with unbelievers in view, it would be the great white throne judgment. God's exercising of his perfect justice in regards to men. Nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. That assembly is in phase 3. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And then, obviously, James 4:4, your friends of the world, your enemies of God. If you don't know that verse by now, you haven't been in too many of my Bible classes. You want to establish and maintain relationships on a social basis with what you call your friends. And life with negative volition, just understand that you're in opposition to God. You are of a different family now. When you believed in Jesus Christ, you became a member of the royal family. And guess what? God expects members of the royal family to set precedence of the royal family over even their natural families. And you've got a different set of rules and guidelines to live by now. And that is your priority in regards to your applications. And Jesus Christ himself taught the importance and precedence of those who adhere to Bible doctrine. As disciples come out and say, your mother and your brothers are outside. I'll tell you who my mothers and brothers are. That's in the face of his physical mom, Mary, his brothers being there. They're the ones that pursue God's plan in their life, paraphrasing. So, when we get into 1 Thessalonians, hopefully you'll see the importance in this respect. Roman numeral 7. Now, some examples of mature believers in the Old Testament. Just as a few examples. You have, in the age of the Gentiles, Enoch, Genesis 5, 21 through 24, which proclaims his spiritual status before God. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch did not face physical death. God just basically yanked him out of here. His body's gone. And he pictures resurrection. Now, obviously, his soul was unplugged from his body. And his soul went to paradise. What God did with his body, we don't know. Maybe he just basically took the molecules and atoms and spread them out. Who knows? But he walked with God. See, to walk with God, that shows you who your real association is in life. Your number one friend. You conduct your life according to God's wishes. Noah, again, had opportunity to reflect upon him over the last few months, off and on, Genesis 6, 8, and 9. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You never know how the blessing may come about. Noah's just living life. And God's going to come in and he's going to judge the world. And all of a sudden his life changed. Big time. Because God's going to preserve him and his family. See? And deliver him from certain death otherwise. These are he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Oriented to his own dispensation. Oriented to God's plan for his life. Maintained fellowship with God. Overruling his SCA position. Job, obviously. Too many people take issue with him. In this regards, the man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and the man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Doctrine of separation, turning away from evil. The doctrine of separation. It's a broken record. But that broken record is all through the Bible. Going along, you sing this song, Doctrine of Separation. Going along, sing some more songs, Doctrine of Separation. You know, and people still take issue with it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, for there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil. He still holds fast his integrity, although he incited me against him to ruin him without cause. You never know, you know, in regards to the particular test, Satan himself could have been before God making accusation. I'll put this test in front of this believer and watch them crash and burn. They'll crash and burn over this one. They'll show their true colors. You can either prove him wrong or prove him right. D. Abraham, obviously, the father of the Jewish race. Genesis 17:1. Again, he wasn't perfect. He had a fear trend. Good-looking wife, afraid that the foreign kings would want her for their own wife, and they would kill him for her. And here's a mature believer. Hey, woman, act like you're my sister instead of my wife. And if the king wants you, just go with it. Take pictures. I don't care. You know, just let me live. And she went with him. Now that is a woman that can faith rest. You ask me. But there he was. You know, SCA makes us do stupid things. But ultimately, they're both positive. Ultimately, they both overcame their SCA. God interceded on behalf of them. He had to undergo some true humility as an unbelieving king. He had to chastise him as God revealed to the king. You touch this woman, yours is mine. But either way, just understand that in regard to polyvolution, what God looks for. Genesis 17:1. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God the Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, which he did. And then we have, obviously, the Hall of Fame roster of Hebrews 11. Is a list of specific individuals. Now, all these individuals essentially referred to in Hebrews 11 would be what we would say were prize winners in regards to their life as believers. And some of them are simply given honorable mention without name. It's going to be cool. You're going to meet these people one of these days. All of us will meet these people one of these days. Hopefully we can share the joy, the celebration in regards to triumph in the angelic conflict. Now, faith, verse 1, just to read it, is encouragement and reminder to each of us to stay in there, hang in there. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We believe things that are not tangible. Can't see God physically unless he decided to manifest himself in theophany. Otherwise, Bible doctrine and what we believe is an act of faith. That all these things that the Bible says indeed is true. And our full assurance, that's your conviction, means assurance. The confidence that what you see, what you hear and read in regards to God's Word indeed is true. And that's where we place our faith and our hope and assurance, whereby the men of old gained approval. It's the same way it's been throughout the generations and millennia of the history of mankind, of those believers who were positive. The it there being the faith. By faith we understand that the world was prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which are the seen was not made out of things which are visible, as he created ex nihilo, out of nothing, as it reflects regards to God's plan in regards to our life and what we believe. By faith, Abel, and he begins here in the list, offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. And his brother killed him. But he went out dying grace. He went out a prize winner. Because he oriented and offered up the animal sacrifice rather than the grain offering of his brother in rebellion against God. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks as the first believer to be martyred in the history of mankind. And then, as we just saw, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God took him up. for he obtained the witness that for his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. As he found favor before God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's what we call polyvolition, seekers of God. Willing to orient to God and his plan. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. He took it serious. When God said, build a boat, he took it serious in reverence. And to deliver him and his family, the only believers left on this world at the point in time of the flood when it occurred, Methuselah had died and moved on. By which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. It's all by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was received for inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. Letting God show him through God's GPS system where he wanted to go. See. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as a nomad, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. They did get to experience that promise in their lifetime. The land that God in his covenant proclaimed to Abraham. But they will. He will. For he was looking, and his whole deal was that he kept his eyes off the temporal onto the eternal. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That's the New Jerusalem. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. That'd be a shocker. 100 years old, I'm pregnant.
Oh, no!
Mm-hmm. Help me, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But God gave them ample life to bring up their kids, see. See, she considered him faithful who had promised, and it was a blessing to them. Therefore, also, there was born of one man, and him as good as dead as that, Abraham, sexually, under sexual debt. As many descendants as the stars of heaven, and number and numeral as the sand which is by the seashore. Number of Jews are that will have actually existed, and from his bloodline, the race of people that you couldn't count, like the sands on the seashore. All these died in faith, that's active faith, without receiving the promises of time. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, they understood their true position and being a part of the kingdom of God, which is phase three, which it will be manifested. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country for which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. See, if they had their eyes on the physical, they would have capitulated and gone back and went into reversing it. But they had faith, active faith. They kept their eyes on the promises of God that it would be fulfilled one way or another. And for them, it's going to be in their eternal state. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants will be called. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type of Christ. So Abraham took the doctrine that he needed his only son. It was the promise given to him in regards to continuation of his family lineage. And recognize that, well, if God kills him, he'll have to just raise him back up. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. Esau in regards to his lineage, Edomites. That's by association. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. he was buried in Egypt. And he said, I want my bones taken to the promised land. That's God's promise to us, and he will put us there as evidence in regards to his faith, not that he's mystical. Got to be buried in a certain place, you know, to enjoy the blessings of eternity. No, it was evidence of his faith in regard to God's promise. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's eating. The Bible says that somebody's beautiful, they're knockout. And this is a male that's described as beautiful. That he didn't let his beauty interfere in regards to his God's plan for his life, appearance. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, came great, if you will, under Pharaoh, the next line of rule, if you will, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment to people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The whole world will play at his feet economically, politically, under power. He could have rationalized, well, I can serve God better as being the leader of Egypt. And I'll help my people that way. No, that was not God's will for him. God said, no, you need to get in the hell out of Dodge, and I'm going to send you guys out into a wilderness. And I'm going to take them to where they belong as a people in their land. So he gave it all up. And we think that we sacrificed big time in life. Which I have sacrificed millions of dollars just to be on doctrine. Essentially what you got with Joseph, Moses, to be able to curse people and put them to death if they backflipped you. Now, I think I'll take ill treatment instead. So, to have that kind of power, to endure ill treatment and enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sin looks at a phase two life of reversionism and disobedience to God, see. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Only someone who is spiritually adjusted and truly believes Bible doctrine has that kind of faith and will, therefore, to step forward and do what's right. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. In regards to God's judgment, you're going to see it, Egypt, and letting everybody know, you know, Passover, put a little bit of that blood in your doorpost out there on the lintel, because God's going to kill all the firstborn otherwise. And all that looks at his faith in the person of Jesus Christ. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. The Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? Just as a reminder that we're not the only ones going through the meal and the grind of the angelic conflict, hanging in there with doctrine. There have been many before us, and there will be many after. So you might as well just jump in and hang on. For time will fail me if I tell Gideon, Barak, Samson. Some of these had to go through periods of reversionism, and then they got their spiritual acting. Samson's one of those. Got in our arrogance. Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, God validating and evidencing their faith in time. That's for not only their own encouragement, but for believers around them. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, the weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting the release in order that they might attain a better resurrection. A resurrection over and beyond simple faith in Christ, one that is laden with the riches and rewards of phase 3. SG3. And others experienced mockings, public mockings, and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. And the cosmos will look at it and say, that's not fair. How's that a fair and just God allow that to happen in regards to the people? They won't be saying that in phase three. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death through murder by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy. The world is not worthy. This is how God looks at Paul's volition in his eyes compared to the rest of the world. The world is not worthy of having this kind of positive volition exist on this planet. Those who would love him to this degree. In the face of the antagonism and the rest of the world that rejects God. That's a powerful statement. Men of whom the world was not worthy. Put yourselves in those shoes. See. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. At least we don't have to do that at this point in time. And all these having gained approval through their faith, it was all made possible through faith, did not receive what was promised in time. Because God had provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Looking at the completion, fulfillment of God's plan, and here looking at the church age dispensation being fulfilled first before promises all come about. Roman numeral 8, characteristics that you'll find with respect to the mature believer. Is one who is informed with respect to the realm of Bible doctrine. Genesis 15:14. That's Romans 15:14. And concerning you, my brothers, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Looking at the Church of Rome being corporately in a state of maturity at this point in time in their history. It is one that believer adds an abundance of divine good production. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture, every portion of it, is literally God-breathed and profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for refutation of error, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for the very purpose that the man of God, the one who claims positive volition, may be mature, equipped for every good work, to apply doctrine at every juncture of their life. See, there is a Sarah's daughter designation for the ladies, which we went through as of recent. 1 Peter 3:1-6. Women are to orient and acclimate to God's plan for them in their lives, and as wives, they just submit to their husband's authority. Not taking issue with it, not rebelling against it, doing things against what he knows that they desire otherwise. No, to acclimate Norian, and the examples of the women of the past, great women of the past, are examples given to us, and Sarah is one of them. Hence, Sarah's daughter. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. What's important is your inner beauty being manifested in application. See. As they observe your fidelity and respectful behavior, and let not your adornment be merely or only external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses. It has its place. But that's not the whole emphasis, how good I can look on the outside. The emphasis should be first and foremost on the inside, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, verse 4, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, not horsey, mouthy, all around slugging your husband all the time. See, that's not gentle. Which is precious in the sight of God. I come in with black eye and it's Bible class, you'll know why now. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, put on the appearance of Bible doctrine, in acclamation and orientation to your husband's authority. And as I brought out before, while the women's movement, women livers, you know, completely and totally against this, and our whole society is wrapped up in this now. And hence why we have the problems in regards to families, as both parents are drawn out of their home to work, nobody there to take care of the kids, because they're too wrapped up in making money and being equal and all this other stuff. Embrace Bible doctrine in contrast to that. And you represent, in regards to your niche, in your submissiveness, you represent the person of Jesus Christ and his submissiveness to the Father. That's one of the things that, to me, is a great example of the woman in their place. Jesus Christ was completely and totally submissive to the Father, to his authority. And God respects authority. And he enforces it. And those who acclimate to it, he blesses and embraces. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, verse 6, calling him Lord. You have become her children, Sarah's daughter, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Not getting under sin fear. Yeah, your husband's not perfect. Maybe he will make a couple of boneheaded decisions in his life. But faith rests. When he makes the ultimate decision, that's the way you go. And just pray about it. Put it in God's hands. Husband's going to be abusive, things of this nature. Put it in God's hand, and God will otherwise bless you and protect you. D places a higher premium on relationship with God over people or things. Genesis 22. In regards to Isaac and Abraham, the offering of Isaac, where Abraham placed his only son in the hands of God, take him out of this world. You can read that on your own. Let's see if I can get through this one. A mature believer demonstrates control of the tongue, able to keep their tongue bridled sufficiently that it doesn't trip them up spiritually. Bridle one's tongue. James 3:2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a mature man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Think before you speak. Get yourself in situations by opening your mouth and all of a sudden you find yourself physically involved. Just bridle your tongue. Probably there's a lot of tests we would pass that otherwise we fail. We just keep our mouths shut. F, the mature believer is stable and dependable in contrast to the double-souled man. It's not just a soul man, it's a double-souled man. James 1:5-8. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without reproach and will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, for let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. You're not going to embrace Bible doctrine and believe it. Then don't expect God to bless you in return. Being a double-minded man, two-souled literally, unstable in all his ways, one who vacillates, double soul, further pictures and suggests strongly hypocrisy in regards to an individual life. They claim one thing and they do something completely different. Now, I believe that God's word is perfect, and yet I reject this doctrine that that's hypocrisy. And the mature believer keeps God's commands. Genesis 26:5. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. That's why God lasting with the Abrahamic covenant. All right, Roman numeral 9. Now, there's certain blessings that we can associate with maturity. Psalm 119:1. Blessing both time and eternity. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Their integrity based on their application and adherence to the truth of Bible doctrine. And they are blessed by God. This would include deliverance, protection, and the angelic conflict to sustain life sufficient to fulfill God's plan for our life. That's Proverbs 13:6. Righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. So God's righteousness guards one, you don't crash and burn spiritually otherwise. Proverbs 28:18. He who walks blameless, they will be delivered. He who is crooked will fall all at once. God creases their skins otherwise. Doesn't mean they're not tested. Proverbs 11:5. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Energy of the flesh, that's what will take you down. Your very actions will be that which trips you up. It becomes a discipline in your life rather than a blessing. Inherits temporal blessing. Genesis again, 24:1. Now Abraham was old, advanced in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in every way in regard to his life, temporally. And again, Proverbs, here 28:10. He leads the upright astray in an evil way, will himself fall into his own pit. The blameless will inherit good. Mature believer, he is God's delight. Proverbs 11:20. Find favor with God. The perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord. The blameless in their walk are his delight. God honors them. Psalm 101:6. That honor extends into phase 3 in accordance to 101:6. My eyes will be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Who walks in a blameless way is one who will minister to me. They are in line to receive the ultimate of eternal blessings of the wreath or prize, as it's called, and all the honor and prestige associated with it, if they hold to the end. Maturity, getting there, is one aspect, but one must sustain and maintain it to the end of their life. And again, James promises the wreath for those who will endure throughout their life. Blessed is the man, James 1:12, who endures under testing, for once he has been approved, he will receive the wreath of life, which the Lord has promised those who love him. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. And the message to the church at Smyrna, that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days for a period of time. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the wreath of life. And then also 26 and 27. He who overcomes, the believer, and he who keeps my words, the positive believers, until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter, broken pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. So, Roman numeral 10, the charity is to be the objective of the ministry of the local church. Colossians 1:28, and we proclaim him, Christ, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. For those who will plug in with respect to the teaching that they end their phase 2 in the mature state and thus complete in Christ. So Roman numeral 11, the humanity of the Son of God himself attained maturity. Jesus Christ in his humanity had to grow up physically, emotionally, intellectually, and his humanity also attained to being complete. Hebrews 5. Eight and nine. Son, though he was, although he was a son, Jesus Christ, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. That's obviously referring to his humanity. And having been made perfect, complete, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. He did it perfectly. Then compare Luke 2:52. He says he grew in stature and in wisdom. He kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Final verse, 2:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for what you have provided for us in order to fulfill your plan for our lives. Can you bless each of us in our continuing spiritual advance. Bring us back for the next Bible class. Safe and sound in Jesus' name.